There we go. Wine Cellar Media on the go. All right, so now the internal recording is going for the podcast archive. Call in numbers 347-857-3937. And you are hanging in with winecellarmedia.com. Let's go ahead and open the program up as we like to Martha Fracken do.
My shit up, knuckles all fat and shit. Side though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They on this couch you sitting on, them shoes you got on your feet, this building, this school, this country, you. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Give me the cure. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me. Because you do do. You're treating me the Z to the D. Like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs. You know who you are. On the bandwagon, YZ. Cause you a star. This is a year. When the jokers are wild. When the fag can hack it. And try to fight your style. I get hip to the steam. Before it happens. If it gets wild. Then I'll start capping, but for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bomb, because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country, you...
That Father Teresa does not give.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday. In the wine cellar.
Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
All right. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Wine Cellar Podcast, winecellarmedia.com. William J. Jackson, the original and the only greatest black atheist, Phoenix Collider, the uppity negress reading in the shade with Phoenix Collider. Go check that out and invite your Martha Fracking friends. Catherine Loco, anarchist, gangsta-ass nigga. Catherine is black. That's actually why she's not white-splainering. I gotta stop that. That's gotta be inappropriate or something over here, right? All right, Mike Freener, the secret rapper. A lot of people don't know that about Mike Freener. If you ever come across that guy, like, just know that, like, he's crafting a rhyme in his head about you the moment that he sees you. That's all he does, is craft rhymes in his head. I had a personal journal update, right, before we move forward. Right, haven't had that shit in a while. And no, folks know, some folks that interact with me in the social networks know that, I got the warehouse gig now. That's where I'm at in the daytime, you know, Monday through Thursday. I'm in the Martha Fracken warehouse, you know, and if the Republicans do what they gotta do and mess with Phoenix Collider's money, then I'll start doing 11-hour shifts. I'll start doing 55 hours a week in the warehouse to cover that, and that'll be handled. But I want to interact with my fellow black males, right? I want to do that. I want it to be productive. I want it to be positively posified. And night shift and day shift overlap so that we can kind of pass the baton on the labor, if you will, right? Like, they just hop in. You know, it's not even like pick up where we left off. They start running with us, and then once they get going, you know, like, we slide out. That's the way it's timed out. And usually for the second shift, now there goes Phoenix Collider. She's going to drop a mad deuce. She's been eating hella fiber, son. Okay, I'm being childish. So we overlap the shifts, and on night shift, the second shift, that's typically when more black people are coming on the shift. And, you know, cold game, a lot of them are coming through a temp worker agency. And, you know, so to my knowledge, cis hetero black men come in, and they've never done this particular position before, so I'm trying to show homie Loco how to do the position. But, and I can kind of feel it, right? Like, you guys hear me speaking. I don't know. To me, when I hear recordings of my own voice, I'm like, I sound like the same old Northwest, Pierce County guy that I've always sounded like. But to that guy, I sound like proper and bougie. So he's really not trying to hear me. Like, he's just like damn near like tuning me out. Turning his eye away, half-ass listening, not really paying attention. And then at one point, he finally says, where are you from? It's like, Pierce County, Washington State. He's like, you sound real proper. You got you a white girl, huh? I was like, what the fuck? Like, well, what? And it's not even it is. It's a lot of shit there where it's just like, you sound like this. So I can't associate with you. And it's like, I don't know, do I sound fucking real proper? Like, I mean, right now I'm in like radio mode, but then even here, like, I talk grimy. I don't know. But fucking, that shit bugged me. And then it's like there's the misogynoir in like what he said there, where it's like, oh, so you seem like you are worthy of having a woman higher than a black woman. Can you dig what I'm talking? Alright, that's what that seemed like. And, you know, and I'm like, I'm not gonna just disengage now. You know, I'm fucking stuck here for like another 15 minutes any fucking way. The shift is overlapping. So I'm like, no, you know, nah. And then he's, very next thing he says, she got cousins? Ah, fuck off, you fucking guy. You know, and we were riffing about that before, like with the idea of like building black infrastructure, but we got too many niggas that are concerned with fucking I want to get some pussy shit. And it's like, that's not productive, man. You know, even though it sounds like it might be reproductive, it's not socially productive. It's just not fucking useful. Call-in numbers, 347-857-3937. If you're catching it on the Facebook Live, I am trying to get those gosh darn comments if I can. Got to open that up on another screen and try to catch that on the Pages Manager application, and maybe I'll get the gosh darn things. All right. So we wanted to open this one up. One of the homie locos. I don't know if she wants her name blasted up on the joint. So just, you know, the homie little J, the homie little J Smooth. Right. I'm just nah. That's the smooth part makes it corny. But the homie little J loco hit me up with a link to a blog called Black Girl with Glasses. And I was like, you know what, I'll hit that up. And then, like, I thought, I was like, you know what, I'll title the episode for it. You know, like, we'll go all the way in on this. So, we ought to head on over here to the Black Girl with Glasses blog. And the particular blog post that she linked me to is, it's called, Sexual Misconduct Towards Black Women Within Radical Organizations. And it opens up with a quote. In the end, anti-black, anti-female, and all forms of discrimination are equivalent to the same thing. Anti-humanism. Hold on, folks. I got the glaucoma. I have to widen out the screen. I don't see good. And that's from Shirley Chisholm. Oh, Shirley Chisholm. The first Hualman lady running for president there. I think out of Texas. So the blog continues. Well, the blog goes in. It starts here. Chicago's Black Youth Project 100 co-chair and organizer Malcolm London stepped down after his arrest for aggravated assault, while his supporters considered him a hero for his work within the community. Others conveyed a completely different narrative. A woman identified as Kyra wrote an open letter to the BYP 100 organization and Chicago activists about how London sexually assaulted her and his reaction when confronted. Though the letter itself was composed in 2015, the offense itself occurred 3 years prior. Kyra only came forward when her news feed was bombarded with images of the person who harmed harmed her, accompanied by descriptions of him as a hero and upstanding human, which was nothing short of traumatizing. Unfortunately, Kyra's experience with London and the re-traumatization she endured is nothing new. Sexual misconduct towards women within the Black radical community is prevalent, but rarely discussed. Prominent male organizers like London often receive protection from the organization, while the victims are encouraged to remain silent to help the movement. Meanwhile, the male leader targets yet another innocent woman, a woman member of the organization, with the knowledge that they will not be held accountable for their crimes. So why do organizations such as Black Youth Project, BYP 100, work diligently to defend these predators? Well, for one, respectability politics plays a significant role. Young men like London present themselves appropriately enough to establish trust within the community. They don't patrol the streets with pants sagging, spewing street slang, which is perfectly fine if they did. These charismatic personalities package themselves as quintessential black male radicals. Their speaking voices, woven with articulation and queer feminist vocabulary, as they speak highly of black women, they are the hype men at marches who always volunteer their time and bodies for an arrest. the sensitive professors who quote Assata Shakur like they're freestyling. These men exude superstardom while doing the work necessary to promote the organization's mission through the mainstream media, a tool needed to attract potential white allies besides white demonstrators, reducing the white demonstrators... reduces the likelihood of black death or protest. Okay. Increasing white demonstrators reduces the likelihood of black death at protests. The participation of white folks makes the organization look less than threatening to the white community in general. The beloved black leader is essentially for recruitment, so any controversy regarding sexual assault reflects poorly on the organization. The organization's disregard for the safety of black women also perpetuates anti-black woman ideologies. In his autobiography, late Black Panther Party member Eldridge Cleaver speaks candidly about his hatred for black women and how he sexually assaulted them. He admitted that he and other members of the Black Panther Party dated light-skinned women primarily because of their resemblance to whiteness. Regardless of their complexion, the female members were berated into silence about the mistreatment they endured while forced to promote black unity. The abuse wasn't even disclosed until years after the party was disbanded. This brings me to the conclusion that these male-dominated organizations resent black women. Though they're branded as a detriment to the black community, these organizations recognize that female presentation is also crucial to pushing their political agenda. So in hopes to recruit black women, the black male leader is used to promote the illusion of a safe environment. The worst part of it all, points out Vashina Austin, who I accepted her friend request on the Facebooks. She's dope. I share a couple of her posts a month. The worst of it all, points out Vashina Austin when critiquing the Chicago-based organization, is that BYP, Black Youth Project, uses feminist, womanist language in order to attract black women to their movement. This not only creates hunting ground for predators like Malcolm London and Timothy Bradford, a.k.a. Fadeways, but teaches them the language so that they become master manipulators, and this is the same language that they reteach during their restorative justice processes. They impress us with black womanist ideologies, befriending many of us through some... as though something seems a little off about them. Unbeknownst to us, though, they are low-key grooming what they consider the most vulnerable demographic, earning our trust and secrets to seem dissimilar from the cis-heteronormative black men who normally hate us. In actuality, however, these so-called worshippers of black women are just basic-ass misogynists who study the right literature and followed the right feminist bloggers. Whenever black women are victimized by a male member, a leader especially, the organization and its members encourages the female victim to remain silent for the sake of the movement. When she refuses, she is met with a burden of proof and receives no support from the organization. BYP hasn't stopped using a rapist as the face of their organization, continuing from Vashina Austin. When several women came forward about another abuser and BYP member Timothy Bradford, the so-called pro-black organization was and still is silent. Recently, another woman came forward about being abused by this person, and still no word from the Black Youth Project or their chair, Charlene Carruthers. Charlene, what's cracking, nigga? Why you acting like a little buster, nigga? Step up. See, you a punk nigga, and I'ma get at you. I'ma get at you on, like, this. This isn't really just my time, right? This is the time of the audience and Phoenix Kalita and the homie Black Girl with Glasses and the homie Jay that linked me. But who's that? Charlene Carruthers. You're the chair? Is that like the boss?
Yeah.
What's cracking, nigga? All right.
It's always extra disappointing when one of the leaders is a woman.
Ooh, full voice.
Oh, I said it's extra disappointing when one of the leaders is a woman of a movement like this and they still kind of ignore sexual assaults and abuses.
Yeah, fuck that shit. All right, continuing the blog. I didn't want to cut into it, but I had to save her name in my notes because I want to know what's cracking. So, Timothy Bradford, a.k.a. Fade Ways, and that's P-H-A-D-E space W-A-Y-Z-E, who preemptively blocked me in the social media for some reason. Punk nigga.
Huh.
Fade Ways is a prominent organizer and activist in the Chicago area. One known for his knowledge of Black history and African politics. According to his victims, or people put off by him, he employed his intelligence to befriend fellow female activists, only to eventually sexually abuse them. Unfortunately, two of those women are friends of mine who trusted him enough to consider him a brother and comrade. So even when I write these words, I'm thinking about all the various ways he will catch these hands, but I digress. The fucked up and unsurprising part involves the army of Bradford bots that shot from all corners to defend him. Oh, man, I gotta cut into the blog again. Just when I was waking up to do show prep, I checked my social media, and one of the people that was trying to be a fence sitter and like and still have like a couple toes on the Bradford side of the fence that I unfriended in social media because I was just like, yeah, I was just dropping a gang of them niggas because they were fucking with Bradford. They had sent me a friend request before. I ignored it. They canceled the friend request and resent it so it would be at the top of my notifications again. And I'm going to ignore you again. Fuck off. And that person is a Black woman. And sometimes, like, you know, like, as niggas know me, like, sometimes, you know, I got, like, you know, when there's, like, swerfs and turfs and shit like this, you know, I can't fuck with y'all niggas. All right, back to the blog. I gotta stop cutting it off. Oh. There you go. All right, Phoenix Kalita's got the comments. I reloaded the phone bank.
I'm helping.
Yeah, remember that's 347-857-3937. All right, coming back into the blog. This squad placed the burden of proof on the victims, questioning their motives, credibility, and even the validity of the evidence presented. In turn, the latter is defending themselves on social media and through private messages, becoming more triggered by the backlash received from semi-complete strangers. Luckily, these wonderful, strong survivors also have supporters who go to the bat for them at the drop of a hat. But that's only if they are brave enough to disclose, given the statistics. What's even more traumatizing is that the severity of the male perpetrator's manipulation is unrecognized until they've gained access to our houses, our thoughts, and in some cases our bodies. Because most women within the radical community are trauma survivors, we blame ourselves for falling for the bullshit again or disregarding our intuition. However, it is not our fault that these men adhere to white supremacist standards regarding women, nor is it our fault that these organizations have a house slave mentality, kissing the boots of a demographic that ain't paying attention to in the first place. By placing their reputation above women victimized by their leaders, organizations like the BYP 100 are no different from the Catholic churches that transferred priests who targeted innocent children. Continuing, in Dear Sister, a disability justice activist, Mia Mingus writes, Many of us envision the kind of coordinated community capacity that could hold healing circles and develop safety plans for survivors, work to build a deeper emotional capacity, and educate community members so that they can confidently intervene in instances of violence and support each other to do so, and train folks in accountability processes and healing for people who have caused harm or perpetuated violence, who oftentimes have been victims of violence themselves. For example, not just the healing and safety survivors, but also accountability, knowing the very real history we have of responses to violence that have resulted in harmful legislation and criminalization. All right, I see you, 757, down there in the phone bank. If you have something to say, you can press 1. That'll give me a notification that you have something to say, or you might just be tuned in by telephone. And if you do have something to say, I will catch you at the end of this blog. There are a couple more paragraphs. All right. We envision Black-operated organizations being a safe space for all Black people, especially women and gender non-conforming people, for those who've experienced various forms of trauma and discrimination, simply for having the audacity to speak. But the reality is that organizations like the BYP 100, the former Black Panther Party, and Black Lives Matter tend to support violent Black male leaders who aren't trying to hold themselves accountable. As a result, these violent predators are given permission to utilize their political power and popularity to victimize Black female gender non-conforming radicals. If that's the case, what will it take for them to do so? What would make them stop protecting predatory Black men disguised as leaders simply to keep up appearances? Shaming Black women into silence backfires, and rightfully so. So they turn to social media to put on blast these men and the organizations harboring them. Black women risk their lives for the Black community at large. The fact alone is why we are owed a safe space that guarantees protection and support from violent males in radical clothing. And that is from the Black Girl with Glasses blog. And that is at the, if you look at the show notes of the episode, it's even in the Facebook Live. It's also in there, the link to this blog. Go ahead and copy that link, you know, put it on your news feed so that your folks can see it, and then encourage them to share it so their folks can see it, you know, like I can post it, but I need y'all niggas to share it too. Matter of fact, yo, it's on the William J. Jackson page on the Facebooks, right? Facebook.com/WineCellarPodcast, and I have it right there. You know, it's probably just at the time that I'm recording, it's 9:30 p.m. It's the second one down. So, I mean, you can grab it right there. But, you know, like we gotta move this stuff. You can't just look at it and be like, yo, that's dope. Tell somebody else, hey, this is dope. You know, so Black Girl with Glasses blog, the revolution starts with a pin. And from there, like the rest of the episode, That's a ill tone setter, because everything else in the show notes is not nearly as serious as this, which that was not on purpose. Like, while I was at work today, I was just thinking, like, I don't know, I got some ideas for some shit. I got some Alex Jones. I got, while I was on break at work, like, I saw a video of a young white man rapping. You know what? Let's go there.
Really?
If some folks may remember, we have an episode a little bit back in the archives called White Women Getting in Formation, and one of the, it was essentially a white-on-white crime episode, and one of the white women getting in formation on that episode was Grace Holmes, the rapper Grace in Your Face. Well, Grace in Your Face has new shit. New shit, new shit, new shit! And so we're gonna fuck with some of that, right? Grace in Your Face got new shit. Alex Jones getting his white supremacy on, but in the hilarious way that only he can do it. The white dude rapping, his name is Colby Farron. I'm not a fan. Though, I mean, it's hard to make me a fan anyway. But I could definitely say I'm not impressed. I get what he's doing. Like, I see the potential, but it's like, I don't know if you really gonna, you know, like, are you really gonna bring it? Are you gonna bring it? I don't know. I'd rather hear him in cypher mode. Like, he seems like the type of cat that only writes. Like, can you freestyle and can you be not topical? Like, can you do something that is not intended to just be comedy and still be amusing? Like, can you just hold my attention just kicking rhymes in general? Like, that's what I want to know with you, Colby Farron. Because, I mean, right now you just seem like a comedian with the capacity for rhyme. Right? So, but first, let's go over here to, San Francisco, SF Gate. I got some decent news off SF Gate before. Like, I think SF Gate, that might be where I got the news story of cis hetero parents, taking their children to a library so that drag queens could read stories to them.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got that story from this website, you know, from this news outlet. So there's a California bar reportedly selling 40-ounce bottles of Colt 45 with a brown paper bag for $15.
$15.
Yeah, I get an OE out here for what, like $2.29? I get a faux O, a OE for less than $3. And I'm a clumsy nigga, and they're in a shatterproof bottle. It's a plastic bottle, which is outstanding. That's great for me. Right? So I mean, and what they're really selling is just the image. It's the idea. It's like, and I wonder, like, I think they're definitely going for a particular age group of hipsters, right? They're going for an age group of hipsters like between the ages of 30 and like 38. Because it's essentially like, hey, you can be like those Ice Cube music videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can be like when Ice Cube was Doughboy in Boys in the Hood. You can be like the rapper Brother Lynch. Like now you can be posted up with the, but you don't really have the real experience, right? Like, I really don't know what the paper bag was for. Oh, shit, and,
it comes in a paper bag when you buy it.
Yes, it does. And we do have two hands up in the deal. And so, I mean, really, this isn't a story. Like, there is no reason to go into an article. It's just to riff on it. So, first up, I'll grab 757, see if they have anything to say about all of this stuff going on here. 757, your microphone is hot.
Hi.
How you doing there?
It's Lisa.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I did not recognize that at first. And the cold irony, like the Adele Hello instrumental comes on right at that time.
Hello.
All right, let me make sure that audio is coming in decent. All right, Lisa, give me a microphone check.
Test, test.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at your decibels. It is it is picking you up. If you could speak up a wee bit, that'll help a fair deal.
Alrighty.
Alright, so, yeah, so we just went over the Black Girl with Glasses blog post, and then, essentially the rest of the episode is just irredeemable shenanigans. Alright, so right now we're...
To answer your question...
Yes.
To answer your question, though, the brown paper bag, A, it's what it's sold in, but B, it's also so that you don't get hit with a public drunkenness or a drunken disorderly if you're out on the street when you're drinking it.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I mean, if you think, like, back to the old black neighborhoods, like, the police are going to run up on you anyway. And they know what's in that bag. That's the cold game. Like, before I was old enough to be in Cub Scouts, they knew what was in that bag. Like, they know what you're holding. So you don't want to, you don't want to get caught out there with that. And you know the irony, like, you know what, let me, I'm actually going to take a look at this article, because it's a bar. I want to know what the inside of the bar looks like, if they have any pictures. Like, I guess they have the picture of the counter and a picture of the menu, but no other pictures of the bar. The bar, let's see, Colt 45 reportedly, so-ba-da-ba-do. Some are lamenting it as gentrification at its finest. Others are... St. Felix. Because if the inside of the bar, like, looks like a... Like, if they made it look like a house party or some shit, like, that'd be like, y'all just went all the way in. Just biting off niggas. Alright, and I think this, might be, let's see. Another one on the, Telio phone line. Make sure you, get that fella
ready. I'll show Rashani what's all right.
Ooh, yeah, no.
Is that Rashani on the line?
Yep.
Okay, there's Rashani, singlesimulcast.com. You still have the, single simulcast shop?
Yeah, I still got it.
Okay, what's that? Is that like a single simulcast / anything?
If I can find out. Hold on one second. Real quick.
Oh, no.
I'm not good at this. I actually just made shirts so I can have shirts because I deserve shirts, so I bought shirts.
You definitely deserve shirts. You also deserve cheese.
Yes, fucking black niggas love t-shirts.
I do. Let me see. Teespring. But anyway, whilst I'm looking, the brown paper bag thing, the bar.
Yes.
A year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, there was a group out in New York City who thought it would be cute, read white people, who thought it would be cute too, because they were white, who thought it would be cute, just so you know, they were absolutely pale, Caucasian people. I just want to make sure that you know that they were fully white, white people. They might have been Russian. But white people, I don't know if I mentioned that yet, but they came up with an idea of putting together a spread, a buffet, a feast of food, a thing of that nature, where they serve such things as Wu-Tangy dressing on their salad and thug motherfucking rice. Now, I thought that was bad. Until these gentrified motherfuckers in this bar decided they were gonna sell the motherfucking OE for $15. That must be an artesian paper bag like a motherfucker.
It is.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can get like...
trust that bag in the back.
You can get like 7 of those for that price. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. Like, you can get, you know, 10 days of OE if you sip moderately. But, alright, now there is more. Like, it doesn't stop here. Like, I almost just figure I might as well just go straight to Grace in Your Face from here. Like, you want some real hip-hop. Like, Grace Holmes, greatest MC of all times. Oh. Phoenix Kalita's acting like she doesn't agree.
I don't agree.
Now... Grace Holmes dissed Iggy Azalea. Now, I can't even call it white on white crime. It's damn near real hip hop. It's battle. And again, like I said, even as whack as Grace is, Iggy still won't respond. Iggy is that much of a buster. All right, now
does Iggy still rap?
Last I heard, Iggy was making a new album.
You know, back in the day, everybody was writing their own material. Iggy has 9 writers on his track. 9.
Iggy has 9 writers on her track.
9.
When she says 9, she doesn't mean no in German. She means 9. Nina Ross.
Well, I got 1. And that 1 is me. I come real on this bitch.
She comes real on this B word. I don't know if you knew that. All right. Grace Holmes, she's coming real. You're not ready. You're not. I'm going to give
got
that.
1. And that 1 is me. I come real on this bitch.
Woo!
I don't need a facelift.
I just want to break in and say I come real every night, and you don't hear me bragging about it. That's my wife.
Yep. Oh, sir. Well, Grace Jones, Grace Holmes. I keep saying Grace Jones. Grace Holmes don't need a facelift.
That's real on this bitch. I don't need a facelift. I got real fucking tits, and I spit from my clit.
That's important.
And I spit from my clit.
William, why do you hate us though?
Because I spit from my clit. That's why. Dadgummit.
I got real fucking tits, and I spit from my clit. Yes, I write my own clothes.
I got real fucking tits, and I spit from my clit.
Yeah.
That doesn't rhyme. I can see tits and clit. I can see tits and bit. I can see a whole lot of stuff, but click and tits don't rhyme.
I would force the rhyme. But what matters is, like, that level of skill is what one ought to respect, right? Like you're standing in line at the grocery store, and you're standing face-to-face looking at someone. You don't see their mouth move, but you hear them rapping. You're like, how is that happening? How's that happening?
I hope you know this is a live FB video. They can see your face when you're talking all this shit. They can see you, William.
You gotta stop giving out participation awards to these rappers, man. You shit don't work.
They should stop amusing me. You're just, you know what? You're just hating.
No, that's you had that nose. Take the M out and put a B into that motherfucker.
Okay, so I get it. So you want a Grace Grace Holmes classic?
No,
you want to take
a second, didn't it?
You want to take it old school.
They should stop abusing me.
Oh, shit.
I appreciate it. I saw that because I couldn't find my own fucking shop. Here we go.
Futuristic flow.
That's a good background picture. So.
And that's our
home. Right.
You're not knowing.
I want to lose connection so fucking bad.
Now, what?
Real on this track.
Now, I think it
you
was
gotta write
number
one back.
I think it was Fallon Matthew that linked me to this Colby Farron guy. And, like, what he's doing, like, clearly I'm not the target audience. But I was listening, and I was like, he has a capacity for rhyme, but it's like, I don't think this guy ever ciphers. What is that sound?
Me opening my garage. I apologize. I needed some air after hearing that bull.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, this guy. All right, let's see what this. Or matter of fact, I should actually, because it's a video, I should bring it up so the cat's on the old Facebook arena there can see what in the holy heck darn is going on. Of course, I have to do this through Phoenix Collider's extra slow computer.
Yeah. So is Mike Freiner going to give us
that you're making us listen to it, but you're going to make us watch this shit too?
Yes.
So yeah. Mike Freiner, if you're still watching, you know, you're a hip hop head. We need your opinion on these amazing, insightful, well done tracks.
Freiner's a legitimate head. Like I still think that Freiner has rhymes somewhere that he's not telling me about.
He's just gonna call into the show one day and just freestyle.
That'll be good, and if he's kicking some shit, we'll cipher.
These people get past this, but Lecrae doesn't have the linguistic style to pull you in.
Say that again.
I said I don't understand how these white people get past this, but Lecrae doesn't have the talent to pull you in.
Lecrae don't have the talent to pull you in.
Lecrae, I tried playing Lecrae for you. An excellent artist. and you're showing me this Grace Jones woman.
Oh, that's because it amuses me to no end. You said Lecrae. Is it one of these new rappers?
But come on, she came real on the track. She ain't never going back. She don't know who sells crack.
What? And I know I mostly don't like these new cats. Like I don't like this Kendrick Lamar business. Boring. And apparently, I don't think I've ever even heard this guy, Tyga. Like, I've only heard his name in connection with reality television programs. And that's one thing. Like, I have to automatically assume you're whack if you're not known for your raps. If all you're known for...
He's dating the youngest Kardashian.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, after lefting over for the last forever years, a nasty bastard.
Yeah, that's extra disgusting, isn't it? Because she was a minor when they got together.
Yep. And everybody who was talking about, oh yeah, a couple years now, I just want to make sure y'all know again, everybody who's ever in a barbershop, any one of y'all niggas who ever said in a couple years so-and-so's going to look great, you's a nasty motherfucker. I just want to go ahead and make sure that's out there on wax.
Yes.
Said that on, you know how old school that is? Like, you probably missed that. He said, make sure that's out there on wax. That's old nigga shit. He basically said, I want to make sure it's on a vinyl record.
You like, say that all the time. Nigga, you say that all the time.
I'm older.
You're just old. That's why they call you granddad.
I do. Like the stepson, the 8-year-old be calling me granddad. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, all right. Fine.
Hey, granddad.
I'll be that. I hate that I'm usually too tired for him now, right? Like, I'm typically in between content creating or a shift at work, and I'm just... And then when it comes to the weekend, like, sometimes both the boys are here, so I'm running behind trying to clean up behind them. Yeah, so I don't really get a lot of good productivity time. And don't forget, anybody just tuning in, and Rashani Lisa, the Black Girl with Glasses blog, don't forget to share that with your folks. You know, get that shit spread around. All right, while we get up this Colby Farron. All right, now you folks in Facebook land. What up?
I thought you had forgotten.
No, it's just
I was honestly being real quiet. Like when my mom used to say she was gonna whoop my ass when she got home from work, I was just being real quiet, hoping you forget.
Oh no. And that's really how slow Phoenix Kalita's computer is. And that's not her fault. That's the folks at Hewlett Packard. I don't know what the hell they did. All right, here we go. So this guy.
Hi, my name is Colby Farron, and I'm a rapper. But it's really hard for me to be a rapper. Because I can't relate to any other rappers. Because other rappers...
Yo, he has an alt-right haircut. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Rappers are always rapping about how they started from the bottom. And now they're at the top. But I started from the middle.
Yeah, and he actually shows a video of himself looking like probably like 12 or 13 years old rapping on a stage. Jesus Christ. Kids look corny as hell.
And I'm still at the middle. So this is a rap song I wrote from the perspective of posting how we hit the bottom before we made green. Went broke, smoked weed, dropped out at 18. Yo, that ain't me. I've got great grades, my bed's made, my face clean. But since I've lived in privilege, they don't want this kid to daydream. They want the underdog or a rags to riches stage scene. I did not start from the bottom, but I'm here. Guess that makes me the middle class gangster from...
Yeah, so like I hear like unpredictable two-syllable rhymes. Huh? Why? Yeah, like what I'm hearing, generally like these unpredictable two-syllable rhymes, You know, he's landing on his snare. He's inside the beat. Like, I see, like, the capabilities there, but I don't think the kid is actually serious. Like, and this speaks to the corporatization. And remember, this isn't just white kids. Like, remember how a lot of us, we peeped this shit when a bunch of Southern rappers that were really jumping on the crunk and the snap bandwagon and doing corny-ass shit because they knew that they could just do it on beat. And that shit was fucking garbage, and we didn't respect that shit. So, like, I don't respect it when anybody does it. And so it's like, I'd rather see this kid use his ability to actually do, you know, real hip-hop. But this could just end up being more corporate-sponsored cable rap, which, I mean, it could easily go in that direction. Because, I mean, the shit, it sounds like it could have some appeal. And he does know what he's doing in general.
Arms on a girl, yeah, they went all Obama, Robin Hood on the problem, and like the length of girl shorts, sealed middles, now the bottom. I can get on American Idol or AGT, cause the folks won't let someone from the middle class get praised and sing. See, they're afraid of me, cause I'm not what makes TV, cause I got good grades and I don't got A's, but a solid ACT. I just want an influence.
The kid can rhyme, but, like, so what are you gonna do with it? Were those rhymes predictable? Like, by what metric are you saying can't?
His slow style,
right now, it's killing me.
His slow style was different, I'll give you that. But
his rhyme was bad. Okay, you're talking about the actual rhyme itself, or do you just not like the content?
The actual rhyme itself.
So those three-syllable rhymes were bad, and why?
Oh, God. You know what? This is going to be another one of the moments where you're like, you don't have a motherfucking reason, do you? And I'm going to be like, Nizzo?
Nope. And I think it's really just because you don't like the package and the presentation, and you don't like the content. You see, me, I'm looking at it purely mechanical. You know, it's like, I'm going to go with cars, even though I don't know cars that well. But, like, say it has a body that's not really pretty, but it performs well. Like what? Like a Volvo? Right? Like, I guess a Volvo performs well. People like the performance, but it looks like fucking Legos, you know? Like, it's a, you know, or like my personal favorite rapper, Brother Lynch Hung, by far one of the ugliest human beings on this planet. But when he opens up his face and kicks rhymes, I dig him. The package is horrific, but what comes out is lovely.
Yes, very much so. First of all, no, I'm not a fan of him saying I'm going to do a rap about how I'm middle class solidly. I'm not. For some reason, I know he's not trying to. It just really, really irritates me. It sounds like he's like, oh, God, dog, is that... I can't. Sorry.
Speaking specifically about the content of what he said, I get the annoyance because he's basically saying, I have talent and I'm just as good as these hood guys, but nobody will give me a chance because I'm white and privileged, and it's not fair. Like, that's where the annoyance is coming in, is it's not even that he's saying I'm white and I'm middle class, it's that he ended it with, and it's not fair because the black people don't like me. Like, that is the underlying tone, and it's annoying.
This motherfucker is the Becky with the long hair of rapping. That's what he is.
But you see, now that's a nice phrase, but does it actually mean anything? Because there is no specific person that is a Becky with the long hair. That's just a throwaway line from a Beyonce Knowles record that made Red Lobster a bunch of money.
No, I apologize. Excuse me, I said that wrong. That motherfucker is Becky with the bad grades.
Becky with the bad grades. Abigail Fisher?
Yes. He is the Abigail Fisher of hip-hop. He's like, why can't I be there?
Yeah, but then, like, if you look at the time it is this real? There's this ongoing conventional wisdom that I don't think is still correct about the guys that are, like, now the known rappers, like, it isn't really the grimy or the realest nigga of all times that, you know, like, there aren't rappers like Coolio where you're gonna get an authentic song about actually being a crackhead. You know, like, there's not gonna be, you know, yeah, guys like Brother Lynch that rhyme about his biological mother smoking crack. You know, like, that's not what the rap game is today as far as, like, for-profit rapping. So, like, he's rhyming from the perspective as if he's 20 years older than he really is. Like, I guarantee you, this guy was born after rap was fully corporatized. So he's really just, he's going off of a conventional wisdom. He's rhyming about lies he was told.
You know, honestly, the more I listen to rap, the more I listen to rap that isn't Lynch, Tech, things that I'm, you know, fond of, familiar with, things of that nature. And I try every day. I mean, I heard Chance the Rapper and loved his album to death. I try every day to listen to new music. But what I'm finding more and more often is that no matter how good a white hip-hop artist is, no matter how good a white rap artist is, they always do something fucked up against black folks, and they just expect a pass for it. For example, there's this rapper named Little Dicky. Little Dicky has a good rhyme style, and he you know, he's using the same style as some of the southern rappers are using. But I like him until I heard a song called Work, I'm Getting Paid for That, at which point they said that he now raps in colleges. He performs in colleges, kind of like what Asher Roth did. And while he's at the college, he fucks with the college girls. And one thing that they say, one thing he says after he admits to this is he says, Dickie, you really need to stop fucking around with all these kids. And he says, yeah, I know, but now that I'm a rapper, it's much less creepy, though.
Much less what?
Creepy.
It's much less creepy now that he's a rapper. And
now, but we've heard rape culture in rap before. That was the deal, remember, with Rick Ross and with CeeLo and with Pimp C of UGK. You know, like, we've heard that. Yeah, that's been before even white rappers became a normal thing.
And I've gone in on each and every one of them as well, with the rape rules and everything else. So when he talks about how he thinks pedophilia is cool because he's a rapper, I got a problem with that. And Eminem saying, you know, I'm not on that nigga shit. Just every white rapper seems to do something at some point to just...
The one from Old Foolish Pride, though, which, age undetermined, what, like, 14 years old. And I know somebody's saying it's an excuse. That's not an excusal. But, I know that one. But, like, does that take away from actual skill?
So I have a question.
I think let's clear this up for every single person involved. The reason why no one likes these conversations with me is because I only talk about the technical part. That's it. I'm only talking about the arithmetic of it. Like, everybody else wants to get, like, you know, the philosophical in, but I'm just like, where's the math? I only want the math because math is the same in every language, and if you do the math right, you always get the same answer.
Question.
No, I don't mind it. I learn something new every day.
Okay, so if we didn't have mainstream rap being, you know, like Drake and people like that who basically didn't have the whole struggle narrative coming up and did come up in middle class or better households, and they are now the face of rap, would this guy have a chance of doing anything remotely popular?
Now, well, you know what? You know why this guy, what he gets to come up off of is the fact that he can just record his own stuff and slap it up on YouTube. You couldn't always do that. Before, you had to actually go get up on stage and impress people. Like, imagine this guy going through the battle circuit. He would not be able to get past round three in a battle circuit, right? Like, it wouldn't work. You know, but then a cat like Eminem did make it through the battle circuit. You know, Snoop and Corrupt, like they freestyle battled face to face. Jay-Z went through the battle circuit, and Sauce Money was rocking with Jay-Z through it. Jay-Z served LL face to face. DMX went through battling. You know, like a lot of these cats don't do that. I love the irony that Little Bow Wow host battles and he did not go through the battle circuit. You know, like these MCs today, like now they can make a SoundCloud, they can make a YouTube. Hell, you can rap part-time and just get famous off posting memes on Instagram. You know, like it's definitely not the same game and it doesn't represent the culture as much. And as far as the content of this Colby Farron, not the actual mechanics of the rhymes, but the content, this is what Drake would be if he was honest. Started from the bottom, now my whole crew here. No, Drake is Colby Farron, but people excuse it because he has a little bit of melanin and he's very handsome. But he's the same thing. He just lies about it.
Okay.
Colby Farron. Yeah, and I went through his page. He does not have a lot of stuff up on this page. And I can't find anything where he's just kicking, like, cypher rhymes. Because that's what I want to hear. Like, I just want to hear, let me just hear your rhyme. Like when I was told about this this MC Young M.A. or Young Ma. I think it's Young Ma. Like, I went and I looked up just her freestyle-type rhymes. I was like, this motherfucker right here is nice as shit. You know, Yeah, she's fucking wicked. And ironically, I just happened to land on the one where she was like, I got niggas on the West Coast, shout out to Tacoma. I was like, there you go, buddy. There you fucking go. All right, continuing with this episode being fucking irredeemable. We need to get some real knowledge. All right, we need to go to a real source of wisdom. Yep, fucking YouTube ads. Santa Claus. That's not Black Santa Claus.
Oh no, is he gonna make us listen to Alex Jones?
Absolutely not. Who would ever do that? That's ridiculous.
You would, you asshole.
Me? Listen to what?
Oh, now they're having a debate about whether or not Drake is handsome in the chat room.
Oh, he is. So there you go.
They disagree.
Yeah, Drake, that's a good looking guy right there. What are you? Hey, you're bugging. You're bugging. That's a sharp looking cat right there.
The girls go crazy,
Chris. Yeah, or is it just that? Is it what did he cut his beard off?
Probably.
Okay, because with his beard, like I mean, if he would not dainty it up so much, like you know, he looks kind of rugged, like he's been out there chopping some wood. All right, now a lot of us are very ignorant, and we lack information, and we're in a war zone, so it is an info war.
The communist Chinese Nobody and their quote, dark army though. Are the biggest, most powerful group in the world.
What? It's the Communist Chinese and their dark army, all right? Biggest, most powerful group in the world. Learn about it.
Probably more powerful than even the giant NSA grids.
All right.
Which have a lot of good people actually working in the NSA that have been leaking the intel on the election and WikiLeaks and more. But the Communist Chinese and their president have openly said...
You know what a cold game is? This, again, Alex Jones be mixing in stuff that's true with his lies. Yes, that is actually true. Like, there are NSA whistleblowers that are saying this whole Russia hacked is bullshit. All right, but so he mixes in that true shit with his bullshit. Here we go.
That America's finished. They've said you'll never be great again. These are quotes. Your greatness will never return to the people's...
These are quotes.
Like, he be doing that shit all the time. I have a reliable source who said, I have a quote, and they said, who the fuck is they, nigger? What's their name?
Now, everybody knows that Scottish immigrants are not too fond of the Israelites. That is a quote. That is a quote.
From who? How, Sway?
That is a quote from some higher ups that were speaking to me in closed door meetings.
Haley, ha ha ha, you'll never get your jobs. It's China century. It's over for you. It's all very aggressive. China is super aggressive.
Fucking website?
That one? Oh, shoot. You said scroll up. I have to rewind.
I did say scroll up. I thought, yeah, sorry.
Let me see. Yep. Your computer be tripping.
What the fuck, man?
Venus Khalifa's computer be tripping.
You broke it.
Nah, it
just... More. Yep. The communist Chinese and their president have openly said that America's finished. They've finished. Said you'll never be great again. These great are again. Quotes. Your greatness will never return. That's in the People's okay. Daily. Ha, ha, ha. You'll never get your jobs.
No. The Taiwan.
It's China century. It's over for you.
That's Reuters that he's pointing to.
Okay. You. It's all very aggressive. China is super aggressive to black people.
I don't know if you knew that. China is super aggressive to black people. All right.
Compared
to American law enforcement officers.
Super hateful towards other Asian groups. One of the most homogeneous racial groups genetically on the globe.
Fact. One of the most homogeneous. And what he's basically saying is they have some brilliant gay folks out there.
Maybe.
All right. The gay club is actually a chess club in China.
So I just looked up. The president of China's name is Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping, yeah.
And I just looked up some of his quotes about America.
Yes.
I don't know if you're ready.
You're about to lie, I know that.
The vast Pacific has ample space for China and the United States. We welcome a constructive role by the United States in promoting peace, stability, and prosperity in the region. We also hope the United States will fully respect and accommodate the major interests and legitimate concerns of Asian Pacific countries. That sounds like exactly what the fuck Alex Jones just said.
He didn't say any of that shit.
It is fake news.
They're more genetically similar than even your average Jew.
All right, man. You know how the Jews are all genetically very similar. All right. If you do not believe me that the Jews are all genetic, look at Jon Stewart and look at Bernie Sanders. Identical.
Look, all I need to know is that this means I can go to Israel and pass as white Jewish. That is all I need to know.
That's right.
That's it.
Jew.
They are the most homogeneous racially, quote, pure group out there. I'm not bashing Chinese, folks.
I'm not bashing anybody, though. But fuck them niggas. Fuck them niggas. I'm not bashing anybody.
Let's just be honest. They're funding political correctness moves in our country. They are literally taking us over. Kissinger and the globalists made deals with them in the 70s. The Bushes made deals with them. Soros has made deals. All the usual suspects.
Why have do you keep saying that? Like George Soros and the Bushes hang out together.
Yeah,
George. Like George Soros bought the ranch adjacent to the fucking Bush family land. Hey, George.
He did.
I am too sober for this shit,
girl.
Well, you know. What you're trying to tell me is that you're not learning, that you're not getting the info. You're not learning? All right.
Oh, I'm learning. All right.
You want
learning just how much I hate you.
You want more knowledge.
Yeah, see? She's learning.
And all right. Folks want to learn some more.
Fallon, so what even is life? I don't know. It's fucking InfoWar. This is why
we're his beard. He's
here we go. You gonna learn something from Alex Jones.
Blending in is he was the security guard. When I go to the airport, the people frisking me are wearing head dresses. They can't even speak English. We have all this security because of the Islamicist. And then the joke is, whether you're...
When he says they're wearing headdresses, what kind of headdresses?
He said headdresses.
Like, does that mean like...
What is an Islamicist?
Yo. Oh my God. No, I just had a moment of like, because we hear so much Alex Jones, I forgot how fucked up it sounds the first time to somebody else.
Remember on the last one we played, he called people that, you know, think that science is a good method of discovering truth. He called us climate changists.
He did.
In Heathrow, or whether you're in JFK, whether you're in New York or London, it's the jihadis running your life.
I like that they play the video of a guy who does not look like a jihadi to describe how the jihadis are in headdresses running your life.
Yeah, he looked like he was auditioning for fucking Pulp Fiction 2, really. All right, he's really gonna break it.
I remember I knew this girl in the neighborhood. She was really, really cute. And she was a blood. She was a gangster. Her name was Katie Blood. I remember that. One day, my brother pointed at somebody and said, go whoop their ass. And she did it without knowing the person. You know, she was just down for the cause. So she was a G. And she was a hottie. She was a G hottie. I've never heard Alex talking about that.
I'm wondering where the hell that was going,
Rashani,
but that was great.
Oh, fuck you,
Rashani. Okay, I'm starting to speak Alex now. I know a jihadi.
Why?
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
All right.
Fallon said, what does he call fashion enthusiasts? Fascists?
Ma'am. Fallon is smart. Like, I was reading one of Fallon's posts today, and I was like, I want to share it, but I don't know what it says. it's intellectually superior to me, and I didn't get, like, it could be saying, yo, fuck William, that nigga picks his nose in front of everybody. Like, I don't know. it's too well worded. All right, but Alex Jones is going to break down, basically, he might get into a little bit of benevolent sexism.
Acts of news here where they're teaching at colleges the evil of whiteness and the evil of Christianity and the goodness of Islam, and all the liberal women are like, oh, yes, I don't have an American man because they're evil misogynists, but I've got a jihadi.
I don't know if you knew that.
I've got a jihadi.
Trendiest thing for liberal women is to have a jihadi that barely even lets them come out of the house.
That's a fact.
But how do you have the jihadi if the jihadi controls your life? Who has who in this situation?
If they can't come out of the house, how are they college students? How do you conduct this study if you can't find them?
It's a cuckolding.
It's a cuckolding.
Distance learning and online classes, William. Come on now.
Yeah, online classes. That's a... See? There you go.
Online class. But what if he knows the password? All right, here we go.
They now say it is about to be the biggest attack ever. The joke is, whether you're in Heathrow...
All right. That's good stuff that you can learn from Alex Jones. All right, Miss Ma'am.
Yes.
We didn't do any fucking news.
No, we didn't.
Fucking nothing. I had a whole bunch of fucking headlines.
This is independent media. We do what the fuck we want here.
Oh,
we're media-ist.
We covered the gentrification of poverty booze in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was news.
Let's see. Fallon shared something Fallon said about this. She said, back when people kept telling me it was so awesome and I'd love it, and I was flooded with recommendations to watch it, I just sat down one night and watched a program called Girls. I was unmoved. Then people just said it would get good. I still felt nada after more episodes. And I couldn't be bothered to finish the season. Lena Dunham's character, purportedly a protagonist, was a nascent narcissist. One of the very first episodes of Girls features her character going to get tested for STIs due to symptoms, and she's rambling to the clinician, speculating on how she might have AIDS, and then goes, well, maybe I want AIDS. Then the doctor just looks at her disgusted like, absolutely not. Don't ever say you want AIDS. Like Dunham, even as a character, just chuckled it off instead of letting it sink in as a conscious moment. I swear I have no idea how or why white feminists love that series or its characters. Well, part of that, that's because, and by white feminists, I mean as a practice, because there are, you know, I've seen, like, black women like Imani Gandhi practice white feminism, right? Like, your classist feminism is white feminism, right? All right, and she wrote that and added it to a link to these folks over at Mike.com, which that's a really misleading title for a website. Like, I thought it was going to be some hip-hop shit when I found out that website existed. No. And so, apparently this whole thing is, Lena Dunham said she wishes she'd had an abortion because there's no rest for the wicked. In the most recent episode of the Women of the Hour podcast, Dunham reflected on a visit to a Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas where someone asked her to join a project in which women would speak out about their abortions. Quote, I sort of jumped. I haven't had an abortion, I told her. I wanted to make it really clear to her that as much as I was going out and fighting for other women's options, except for sex workers' rights, I myself had never had an abortion, end quote. Of course, it doesn't take having an abortion to be an advocate for the reproductive freedom. Dunham forgot this tiny detail, along with other logic and morals, when she blurted out what followed, quote, even I, the woman who cares as much as anybody about a woman's right to choose, felt it was important that people know I was unblemished in this department. Unblemished.
Unblemished.
All right.
I fucking hate this woman.
I ain't too fancy with the talking words, but that one don't seem like it fits that particular conversation quite right.
No. No. It's a very judgy kind of word.
She says more words for some reason. Quote, now I can say that I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had. End quote.
Fucking weirdo.
And then, I mean, of course, this is the laziest thing that I see in articles now. They just say, and then people on Twitter had something to say, and then they just embed like 5 tweets. Fucking lazy motherfuckers. I don't dig that shit.
Dunham's... Did you hear about the folks out in Minnesota who did the tweet about how the whatever stadium the Vikings play in, we're going to open it up to homeless people? And like Yahoo Sports and all these other websites just took them at face value and ran with these stories, even though it was fake.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, and like that, when they're talking about fake news, yeah, they're talking about that stuff that people, that gets shared around, and then something like Pizzagate hits, and you know, folks get, you know, shot at and shit, you know, and I mean, I've been put, because like, the shit that people pretend to satire is fake news. I just used to use the word satire. We've been at this for years. You know, I talked about the one where like guys like Alex Jones, you know, they keep running so hard on Melissa Harris Perry's name to their audience to where some guy finds out where she's attending an event and goes and harasses her, mm-hmm. and then goes and hops in his pick-em-up truck and drives right on out of there. You know, so like that kind of shit with fake news. But then like
Baby killer Taylor.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, these people that are the mainstream media, they pump out fake shit, too. You know, like, they fucking lie. Like, I can't stop pointing out that MSNBC hired Brian Williams, but they gonna tell me about some motherfucking fake news. No. I will not be lectured about fake news by fucking petty bourgeois Democrats that just, they'll tell you the truth about a Republican, but then they'll lie to you about a Democrat. Fuck that.
And then I think, like, the latest story, the, not like a serious, like, Pizzagate story, but fake news story was about the Santa Claus with the little kid that died, and it was like this whole tear-jerking thing, like... Hmm. You know, they were like, oh, he's dying and he just wants to see Santa, so you have to hurry up and get there. And so, you know, some guy who does Santa gigs all year round, you know, shows up and, you know, gives him this heartwarming speech and the kid dies in his arms and apparently it didn't happen.
Yeah, or like fucking...
that's a true story.
Yeah, or when the super delegates weren't done coming forward on the on the California results in the primary, and they just said, ah, Clinton got it. You know, fake news. Like, but because it's coming from a respectable source, okay. Then look at, like, the leading up to the Iraq War, and go, I mean, because it's deep in the archives, you'd have to buy a subscription, and we don't all have money like that. But if you can, you know, pay your way into the New York Times to get in their deep archives, look at the shit that they were writing leading up to the Iraq War. They were fake news in their asses off, you know. Yeah, so they can cut the whole entire shit. Fake news, Jesus Christ. All right, Dunham's words, of course, follow the election of a president who would like to outlaw abortion altogether. Well, that's the vice president, you know. Like, this is basically Mike Pence is president, Donald Trump is the puppet. All right, like Mike Pence wakes up every single day. All right, he gets the probably KY. That's a well known company. Gets the KY, you know, dips his whole fucking arm in that shit, puts it up Donald Trump ass, and just makes Donald Trump retract all the shit that he used to say. Like, go look old Donald Trump quotes. Like, Donald Trump used to fucking praise Hillary Clinton, used to praise the Democrats. Was in favor of fucking abortion. You know, yeah, Donald Trump is, he's full of shit. Like, he's a fucking huckster. And he's a very unconvincing huckster to anybody that would, you know, click on something outside of their echo chambers. Ah, man. And Lenor Dunham is still on this mic.com, not a hip-hop website. And Lenor Dunham played right into the textbook anti-abortion rhetoric when she suggested that a woman would want to undergo the procedure. Conservatives have long believed that women will have multiple abortions as a form of birth control, though conversely, anti-abortion site Life News published an article in May about an abortion provider's supposed lament that not enough women are seeking abortions.
Wait, hold on, though. These are the same people that routinely say... When a woman has an abortion, she regrets it later and, like, gets, like, PTSD and, you know, irreparable mental harm from having an abortion. So, are we damaged permanently because of abortion, or are we trying to use it as a form of regular birth control? I'm confused.
I tell you what, I am too, Miss Ma'am. I also is be confused-ified.
You're always confused.
All right, so with a news and comment program that had little to no news and or comment, and very unfun discussions on constructing the rhyme, and I have some rhymes that I wrote because I did, I still have them, I just haven't recorded them, that because I made that post that said, who won a battle, and then Rashani was like me, so I was like, good, on wax battle.
Nigga.
Yeah, so I've got some stuff there. But for now, we're going into 10:30 p.m. in our time zone. So it's winecellarmedia.com, Rashani, singlesimulcast.com, and adjacent podcasts. Like, really, at this point, like, I think that podcast applications, like, if you're playing our program or his program, the opposite, you know, should come up as a suggestion at this point. You know, I've linked your program, like, in your website so many times, like, it should come up now.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and then Lisa is there, and then in time, Catherine Loco, who's also out here in Illinois where we are, like, once she gets set up, she just moved into a new place, she's getting all her gear in gear. And then, you know, she's going to come and bug out with us. And we're going to get our anti-capitalism on. Like, I want to hear what that nigga got to say. All right, Catherine, the nigger. That's what she is.
She is not.
What? Yeah, I probably should not establish that narrative. That's not good, right?
That's. People are going to laugh when they see her.
No, they're not. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, you are fucking racist. Why are you calling that colored woman a negra? That is not how you talk to spookies. All right?
Spookies?
All right. And that's your wine cellar. Have a good one. Everybody say bye.
Good night, y'all.
Oh, shit. It doesn't have the button where I can press off. God damn it. Where's the button? There.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.